Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, you may want to pitch in with your own views on this next debate we're going to have. You can text us on 51551 or you can WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32 because new figures published this morning show that the state is funding 50 private schools with more than 140 million euro worth of subsidies in the form of teachers' salaries. Almost 27,500 pupils enrolled in these schools last year, the highest number on record. Both the Labour Party and Sinn Féin want to abolish the payment, whereas Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael want to retain them. We're joined on the line now by Éan Oirirdheán, Labour Party MEP for Dublin, and Barry Ward, Fine Gael TD for Dún Laoghaire. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Éan, these figures published in the Irish Times this morning, you think the whole system needs to be abolished, do you?
Well, face out over time. I mean, it's not a terribly surprising figure. We've always been working on the assumption it was around 100, 110 million. It has increased to 140 million. But just to explain to your listeners, and myself and Barry have debated this before, the difference in fee-paying schools is that the state doesn't pay for capitation. So capitation is an individual payment made to the school per pupil, which is in around 316 euro at second level. So the argument has always been that if all these schools automatically came into the free system overnight, that the state would then have to pay that capitation. So that's the argument that has been made. However, I think from the Labour Party's point of view, and we've been arguing this for quite a while, is that the state needs to focus its attention on those schools that have inclusive admission policies, that don't exclude on the basis of income, that are dealing with, you know, all of the challenges that a school community has to face and needs to disentangle itself from its legacy obligation to those fee-paying schools, which many of whom have quite an amount of discretionary income at their disposal. There was a report done into these schools in 2011, which I know is not today or yesterday, but it's the most recent report that we have. And one school in particular, the discretionary income range, but one school in particular had a disposal of 4.7 million. So the argument would be from the Labour Party's point of view that over a period of time, what we should do is to encourage these schools to come into the state system and to lessen our relationship with these schools because they are exclusive. And what we need is to focus our attention on those schools that most of us would have attended ourselves, and certainly the vast majority of students in Ireland attend, that are inclusive and that don't have exclusive enrolment policies.
Okay. Barry Ward, Éan Oirirdheán says the Labour Party want to gradually level the playing pitch by phasing out payments to these schools. What's your argument to that?
Well, firstly, I think parents are entitled to make choices as to where they send their children. And the reality is that the capitation that Éan refers to, in fact, is less for private schools because we pay for teachers for every 20, one teacher for every 23 students in state-run schools and one for every 19 students in private schools. But the point is that subsidy is there. It's something that
Anyway. Barry, the other way around. In state schools, it's funded to a 19 to 1 ratio. In fee-paying schools,
it's a 23 to 1 ratio. So they don't even fund to the same extent. But the point is that it provides parents with choice. If what Éan was proposing happened, you would suddenly have a situation like we have in the UK where private schools would be incredibly elite and only the very, very rich would be able to afford to send their children there. And that choice would be taken away from parents. The reality is Éan is right insofar as lots of people, most people, can't afford to send their children to private schools. But a lot of the people who send their children to private schools are ordinary middle-class people who struggle to do so and work very hard to do so. And they have the right to invest in their children's education in that way if they choose to do so. Éan's plan and Sinn Féin's plan would absolutely wipe that off the table. And what you'd end up with a situation where most of those schools would close and you'd have a situation where the private schools that were still in existence would be expensive to the tune of 30,000-40,000 euro and incredibly elite the way they are in the UK. So in fact, what you would do is exacerbate the educational disadvantage that might be there.
Okay. Éan, do you accept Barry's point there that some of the schools, if they were left to solely fund on their own, would become even more elitist and the state would be left footing the bill of schools it hadn't been footing the bill of before?
Well, that's exactly what happens at primary level. So just to explain, there are fee-paying primary schools across the country, and the state does not support them in any level at all, even for a teacher payment. So that is the current status quo arrangement for primary schools in Ireland. Fee-paying primary schools are not supported by the state at all. So, you know, the argument that I'm trying to make for second level is the existing status quo for primary level. But I want to pick up Barry's point just on parents, as he says, work very hard to do so, work very hard to send their children to fee-paying schools. I really have a difficulty with that argument, and it's always trotted out as if those of us who have been to non-fee and paying schools ourselves or send our kids to non-fee and paying schools are just in some way just not caring enough about education or just not working hard enough to send their children to fee-paying schools. I think there's a complete disconnect there between the reality on the ground, what parents involved in their school communities who care about their children's education, who make massive sacrifices even to do that on a day-to-day level because of the resources available to them, who try to pay for the voluntary contribution, who find it difficult to pay for the uniform, would have had difficulty paying for the school books until recently when, in fairness to the minister, she got rid of that expense for parents. So let's get rid of the argument that in some way parents who send their children to fee-paying schools care more about education or make more sacrifices. What we're asking here for is a level playing pitch, that what happens at primary level also happens at second level, and that the state fundamentally focuses its attention exclusively on those schools that aren't exclusive.
All right. Barry Ward, do you want to respond to that?
Well, of course, that wasn't the argument I was making at all, and I'm not saying that one set of parents cares more for their children than others. That's not the point.
It's what you said.
There's two things. It's not actually, Ian. You took what I said.
Work
what I said
very hard.
Was.
All right. Okay. Just okay. Hang on a second. Okay. Hang on a second. We're trying to have a debate here. We're trying to give some insight to listeners as to what the issues are. If you talk over each other, nobody's going to be able to hear everything. Just Barry Ward. Let's have your response first, and we have time, so we'll come back to Aon or Iredhan.
Aon's contribution was about how exclusive this is and how that's a bad thing, essentially. What I'm saying is that, yes, it's exclusive, but in fact, lots of the people who send their children to private schools are ordinary people in ordinary PAYE jobs who make the choice to spend income that they have available to them on education. And they have the right to do that, and they should continue to have the right to do that. And the point that I was making was what Aon is proposing would wipe that out. But the point also that is being ignored by Aon is that some parents want to send their children to a specific school because of maybe a religious ethos, because they're from a minority group or whatever it is, and they want to send their child to a school with other children who are in that same group. They must also have the right to do that. And in fact, many of the private schools we're talking about are schools that are supported for that reason. And the other point that Aon made was about how this already happens in primary education. But Aon also knows himself as a teacher that the cost of running a primary school is vastly less than it is running a secondary school. And so what I'm saying, the difficulty with the proposal that Aon has is wipe the slate clean, remove all the subsidies for private schools. What that will result in is an English public school style model where you only have a small number of private schools known as public schools in the UK, the private schools in this country, that are uber wealthy and for the uber wealthy. And if he thinks that's going to increase educational equality or educational advantage for people in disadvantaged areas, he is absolutely wide of the mark, because it won't. It'll do the opposite.
All right. Free education is a universal benefit, Aon or Iredhan. But if people, I suppose, want to voluntarily means test themselves and pay the subsidy instead of the state picking up the bill, why not let them?
Well, absolutely. I mean, nobody is arguing that. I mean, I have no difficulty with somebody making that choice, as has been said.
But they are paying for the books, they are paying the capitation fees, so they are making a saving for the state.
But my argument is, I mean, Barry already, concedes it's exclusive. So the argument from the Labour Party point of view, and it's perfectly legitimate for political parties to have different ideologies and different ways of looking at the education system. Our issue with the education system is that it separates children. It separates children on the basis of religion, which has just been alluded to as a reason as why this should remain the same. It separates children on the basis of gender, massively disproportionately with the rest of the world, and it separates children on the basis of income. And what we should really be advocating for in a republic is for an education system that the state supports, that doesn't separate children on any of those bases. And if people want to send their children to a fee-paying school, they're perfectly entitled to, but the state should lessen its relationship with those schools. And I think it would be much better for the totality of the education system if we had a system where the vast, vast majority of schools were ones with inclusive admission policies for people with all sorts of income backgrounds, all sorts of academic abilities, all sorts of backgrounds in education. And that's the type of education system that would benefit the entirety of society. Right. What we don't want to have is a situation where the state is funding exclusivity. And that is something that I think most reasonable people would be questioning.
All right. Barry Ward, if it went down the road, as you say, of the state saying that they were no longer going to pay teachers' wages in fee-paying schools, and we did have a version of what you describe as the English public school system, there wouldn't be many of them, and the majority of people would be going to free schools. In terms of social cohesion, is that not a good thing?
It sounds good, certainly, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that per se, but I would say two things. Firstly, it is not the state's funding exclusivity, as Aon says it. What it is the state providing people with an opportunity to choose what school, what kind of school their children go to. And that's at the heart of it. Of course, they're Republican values, and of course, they sound great on paper. But what I'd much rather see is a situation where parents have choice. The point that I'm making is, yes, there would be only a small number of schools that would be private under the proposal that Aon is making, but they would be reserved for people who are in a tiny minority in society who are uber, uber wealthy. And it would increase the exclusivity of those schools. It would increase the educational disparity between people in fee-paying schools and non-fee-paying schools. Fee-paying schools in this country are relatively normal. Although there are only about 50 of them, the people who go to them are ordinary people who are PAYE workers in most instances. In the UK, what you have is a situation where there is an elite class of people who are above everyone else who populate the public schools. We don't have that here. And we don't want that here either. And that's what I'm talking about. Aon's model hasn't been thought through. It sounds good on paper, but the reality is it'll impose a cost on the exchequer and it'll increase educational disadvantage.
Right. Aon, what about and most of them that have operated this system, the Protestant ethos boarding schools, where their day schools have opted into the day system, but the boarding school has remained fee-paying. What would your treatment of those be in terms of state subsidisation?
Yeah, I'm not pretending. I mean, in all our proposals, that we have never said that this needs to be happening overnight, because we would need to unpick the system as currently exists. There is a constitutional provision, which I don't agree with, but that's just the way of it, that protects the right of parents to send their children to the religious ethos of their choice. Again, in the Labour Party, we would much rather decouple the religious ethos from the school system, but be that as it may, we would have to unpick that system, because there is, as Barry quite rightly says, that stipulation within the education system. So it wouldn't be easy. But what we are talking here about a phased approach to lessen the relationship between the department and these schools. But also,
okay.
I think
can I just ask you to clarify that.
I mean,
that may require
some kind of constitutional amendment potentially.
You're against exclusive admission policies in schools. So you begin, I suppose, with the money issue. But would you then be using exchequer funding to put pressure on religious ethos schools slowly but by degrees, so that ultimately the end game would be for there to be only non-denominational schools?
Well, look, that's our vision. And, you know, as Barry has outlined earlier, there's a difference in the pupil-teacher ratio between a fee-paying school and a mainstream school. And the reason that is because when the Labour Party was in government, we did that. We wanted to, again, lessen the relationship between the state and these schools.
I think Rory Quinn cut capital funding for the upkeep of buildings.
Cut capital funding as well. So it is not the practice generally. There may be exceptions generally that the state would pay for school building repairs or whatever. You know, that generally doesn't happen. There may be some discrepancies, but in the main, it doesn't generally happen. What we're fundamentally talking here about is about teacher salaries.
Okay.
But I think what we need to be here obsessed with, and I think what I would like to hear from a government representative to be obsessed with, is the standard of education that takes place in non-fee-paying schools.
Okay, all the teachers have probably got an undergraduate degree and they've done the Master's in Education.
I'm just talking, in fairness to the teachers themselves,
they all have the same education and training no matter what school they're teaching.
But I'm talking about, rather than trying to sort of defend the status quo of everything as it is, and just defend, as has been done in this debate, the exclusivity, and say that, you know, that's all very nice on paper, but, you know, it all sounds very nice, but we have to maintain things actually as they are, is to have a system that is absolutely excellent for everybody.
Okay,
to have a system that has wonderful resources for every child. and that wonderful resources and excellent.
Okay, I just want to go back to Barry Ward.
As may be presented by these schools, is available to every child in every school, regardless of their background.
Okay, Barry Ward, somebody texting in says essentially those sending their children to private schools currently get to decide how their taxes are used. If everyone had that option, the country wouldn't function. Let those attending private schools fully fund those schools themselves. They already get a large advantage with the class sizes, the lower class sizes.
Well, they don't necessarily get an advantage with that. I mean, that depends from school to school. But Eoin says there we should be obsessed with making education excellent in state-funded schools. And I absolutely agree with that. I don't consider the two things to be mutually exclusive, because the reality is that the only thing the state is providing for is funding for teachers. It would be providing funding for those teachers actually at a greater rate if those schools were all in under public control, as I said, to the tune of 19 students rather than 23. So it's not actually people choosing how to pay their taxes. Every student in this country is entitled to the provision from the state in relation to pay for teachers. And the only difference is that the environment in which that happens, and whether that is provided privately. And this is the other difficulty that arises in relation to private schools. They provide all their buildings, their heating, their insurance, their electricity, all the ancillary costs that come with running a school. Those costs would be absorbed by the state under Aon's model. But I don't see any of this as impacting on the quality of education available through the public system, and nor should it.
All right, well, there we leave it. We'll go to some of our listeners' comments. Not €1 of public money should go to private schools. It's a disgrace, says one texter to 51551. Somebody by WhatsApp says all private schools need to be handed over to the state with immediate effect. Somebody else says parents in public and private system pay taxes, so their schools should get equally funded. And then finally, I worked in a private fee-paying school, and many, many parents were not well off but wanted their sons and daughters to go to a fee-paying school. I went to such a school, so did my husband. Our parents weren't well off. The teachers still have to be paid regardless. We leave it there. But coming up, as the Holyhead hold-up exposes the downside of the just-in-time supply chain, Adam Maguire takes a deep dive into the issue.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.